Let's continue this service tonight with a word of prayer. Father God, we want to know you better than we've ever known you before. And God, we just surrender. We want to surrender and lay everything down at your feet, Father God. And sometimes that is difficult, God, but I pray that you give us the strength tonight and in the days to come. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise and the honor tonight. We thank you for the new breath that you gave us today. We're alive, Father God. Father God, we thank you for new life today. And most of all, we thank you for the gift of eternal life that you gave us through your Son, Jesus Christ, when he died upon Calvary 2,000 years ago. And tonight, we just want to say thank you, God. We love you so very much. God, I just pray that you have your way in this service. Holy Spirit, do your work in these people's hearts. Minister to them. God, I just pray that you show us in the coming days and weeks how much you love us and how valuable we are to you. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Everybody had a pretty good week? It's good to be back with you guys again tonight. And I started this series several weeks ago called Growing in God's Love. Growing in the Love of God. And tonight, the subheading or the message, the brief message tonight is this. It's forgiving yourself. And I just want to kind of recap this series that we started about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And basically, I was trying to bring across the point when I shared the message, you are precious in his sight, of how valuable we are to God. The word precious means very, very valuable to God. Very valuable, of high worth. And generally, guys, you know, people tend to value the things that they love. Think about somebody that you really love. You speak uplifting words to this person. You encourage them. If they have a need and you're able to meet that need, you meet that need. Why? Because you love them. And because you love them, you value them. You know, there's people that have pets that love their pets. They value those pets. You know, they groom that pet every so many weeks. They bring it to the veterinarian. They make sure it smells good, that it looks good, and that it's healthy. Why? They love that pet, and because they love it, they value it. And I'm here to tell you tonight that in the spiritual realm with God, it's the same way. God values us. He values you because he loves you so very much. You are of great worth in the sight of God. And we talked about the biblical proof as to why you are so valuable to God. And I think the most important reason as to why we're important to God is this. Because of the blood that was shed for us. How is your value determined? By the price that was paid for you. The price that was paid for me. What price was paid for us? The price of the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the spotless lamb. That was the price paid for us to buy us back from the kingdom of the enemy. Do you agree with that tonight? Your value is determined by the price paid for you. It took priceless blood to buy you back. Why? Because you are of priceless value in the sight of God. And just think about this tonight. As you begin to understand how valuable you are to God from the Scripture, you begin to grow in your realization of God's love for you. Let me say that again. As you begin to understand from the Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, how valuable you are to God, you begin to grow in your realization of God's love for you. And last week we talked about the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became the righteousness of God. You came into right standing with God immediately when you accepted Jesus into your heart. You didn't come into right standing based on any good works that you could do, but you came into right standing with God based on faith and trust in Jesus. You're now justified, just as if I had never sinned. Guys, we've all had rough pasts. You may have had a really sinful past. But when God looks at you, He sees Jesus. Any sin that you committed has been forgiven and forgotten in the mind and in the heart of God. You agree with that tonight?
Yes.
God doesn't see your past sin, guys. He sees Jesus. This is really, really big evidence that you're valuable to God, is that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, when He sees you, He doesn't see any past mistakes. He doesn't see your rough past. He doesn't see the bad things that you said, the bad things that you did, the bad things that you thought. He sees you as justified, just as if I had never sinned. And you know, tonight I want to transition a little bit and talk about forgiving yourself. We've all heard messages about forgiving others, and the Word of God is full of scripture concerning us forgiving others that have sinned against us, right? Do you agree? We ought to forgive others' offenses just as God in Christ forgave us, Ephesians 4:32. But, let me ask you this question tonight. Let me ask you this. Who are you in contact with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you are in contact with this person. Let me give you a hint here tonight. You see this person every morning in the mirror. You're in contact with yourself 24/7. So tonight I want to talk about forgiving yourself. You might be thinking tonight, well, does the Bible really have anything to say about me forgiving myself? Does the Bible have anything to say about me forgiving myself of my past? Yes, it does, friends. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Jesus clearly states it. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as you what yourself? Let me make it a little clear. Add two words here tonight. Love your neighbor as you dislike yourself. No, love your neighbor as you love yourself. What is a core element of love? What is the very essence of love? The very substance of love? It's forgiveness. How do you love yourself? By forgiving yourself of your past. If you really have to love yourself, if you're really going to love yourself as you love your neighbor, or love your neighbor as you love yourself, you have got to forgive yourself, guys. You see, if you don't release your mind from meditating on the wrong you've done in the past, then you are not forgiving yourself. And if you're not forgiving yourself, then really, you're hating yourself. And subconsciously, without even thinking about it, you begin to beat up on yourself. I would have, I should have, I could have done this. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ephesians 4, 32. This is what Paul the Apostle writes to the Ephesian church, and it applies to us. Verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's grace was showered upon you, and your past was erased in the sight of God. Now look at Ephesians 5:1. In context, it says, forgive each other And then he says in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It says, be ye therefore imitators of God. You see, if God has forgiven you of your past, if in God's sight you were justified just as if I had never sinned, but you don't forgive yourself, then guess what? You're not imitating God. Does that make sense? If God has forgiven you of your past, but you cannot forgive yourself of your past, then you're not being an imitator of God. In a sense, if you think about it, you're in a sense putting yourself above God. And what is that? That is pride and rebellion. Look at James 4:6. Look at what it says concerning humility. James 4:6. Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Be imitators of God. God has forgiven you. That means you must forgive yourself of your past. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What is grace? That grace is God's strength and ability for you to forgive yourself. Guys, it's tough. I know we've done some pretty bad things in the past. We've said some pretty bad things. We've thought some pretty bad things. We may have harmed some people in pretty bad ways. And tonight you may be living in the prison of the past, full of regrets, not being able to go forward because you're behind the bars of past. And so the word tonight is this from God. You've got to forgive yourself. Be an imitator of God. God has already forgiven you. God has forgotten your past sin. If you're going to imitate Him, you've got to do the same toward yourself. You've got to forgive yourself. How do you forgive yourself? How do you forgive yourself practically? There's three ways here. Releasing yourself in three different ways. Number one, releasing your mind from keeping a record of your own past wrongs. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Paul the Apostle here is talking about the God kind of love, unconditional love, love with no strings attached. And he describes this God kind of love. And this is what he says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. It keeps no record of wrongs. Does God keep any record of wrongs against us?
No.
Of wrongs that we've done? No. So if we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, that means we must keep no record of wrongs against ourselves. We must release our minds from keeping these records of past sins. Do you agree tonight?
Yes.
Number two, you release yourself from the regret. How many here tonight have some regret concerning the past? I think a lot of us do. I would have, I should have, I could have. Had I pursued that relationship, I could have had that person. Had I worked a little harder, I could have had that job and been out of this place. Had I done this, that would have happened. Had I done that, that would have happened. Regret, regret, regret. Guys, you've got to release your mind from past regrets. You've got to release yourself from meditating on the past. And then finally, you've got to release yourself from beating up on yourself. Because if you keep a record of your own wrongs and you can't forgive yourself, subconsciously, without thinking about it, you start to punish yourself. And guys, God has a wonderful plan for your life. But if you're punishing yourself, If you can't forgive yourself, you can never go to the next place, the bigger place that God has for you. God wants to take you from the pit to the palace of His blessings for your life. But you've got to let go of your past. Why? Because God has already let it go. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You agree with that tonight? Yes. Release yourself. Forgive yourself. And you might be thinking tonight, well, man, how do I release myself? I'm an intelligent human being and I remember the past. How do I release myself of my past sin, of my regrets, of beating up on myself? How do you do it? First of all, see yourself as God sees you. When God looks at you, He sees whom? He sees Jesus. You are in right standing with God the day that you accepted Jesus. You became justified just as if I had never sinned. You've got to see yourself as God sees you. What does the Word of God say in Proverbs 23, verse 7? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The way you think about yourself will be the way you act toward yourself. The battle is in the mind. If you can't forgive yourself, you'll always beat up on yourself. You'll be like, you know what? I'm always defeated. I'm dumb. I can't go any further in life because I've done so many bad things in the past. But that's not the way God sees you. Start seeing yourself as victorious in Christ, as being able to do all things in Jesus who gives you strength, as being intelligent. See yourself the way God sees you. The way we know how God sees us is how? By His what? How do we know how God sees us? By His written word. Look at Romans 8. By His written word. Look at this. This is what Romans 8 verses 1 and 2 says. I'm going to read you a little story at this point, okay? It's kind of a funny story, but it makes the point well here. Who's the author of condemnation and guilt trips?
The devil.
Who's the author of bringing up your past continuously? The devil. And when he comes to you and tries to bring up your past, what do you do to him?
Remind him of his future.
Pull out your sword and start swinging, right? This is what the Word of God says, Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So when the enemy tries to bring up your past and keep you behind the bars of regret, what do you say? Satan, in the name of Jesus, the Word of God says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. God has forgiven, God has forgotten my past, and so do I. Amen? You agree with that tonight? Alrighty, now listen to this story. It's kind of a funny story. It's called The Devil and the Duck. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with out in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back for dinner. As he was walking back, he saw Grandma's pet duck. Just out of impulse, he let the slingshot fly, hit the duck square in the head, and killed it. He was shocked and grieved. In a panic, he hid the dead duck in a woodpile, only to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. But Sally said, Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen. Then she whispered to him, remember the duck? So Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper. Sally just smiled and said, well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help. She whispered again, remember the duck? So Sally went fishing, and Johnny stayed to help. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, he finally couldn't stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug, and said, "Sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window, and I saw the whole thing. But because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." God saw your whole past, guys. Thought for the day and every day thereafter. Whatever is in your past, whatever you have done, and the devil keeps throwing it up in your face, lying, debt, fear, hatred, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever it is, you need to know that God was standing at the window and he saw the whole thing. He has seen your whole life. He wants you to know that he loves you and that you are forgiven. He's just wondering how long you will let the devil make a slave of you. The great thing about God is that when you ask for forgiveness, he not only forgives you, but he forgets. It's by grace and mercy that we are saved. Go ahead and make the difference in someone's life today. Share this with a friend and always remember, God is at the window. The devil is the author of condemnation and bringing up your past. Just like Sally in the story. God saw the whole thing. When you ask for forgiveness, it was erased in the mind and in the heart of God. Does that make sense tonight? Did you get that story? Cool. Okay, good, good. Okay, so God's Word. What does God's Word say about how does God see us according to His written Word? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you instantly became a new creation. You've got to meditate on this scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Remember it. Write it down. Write down Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Memorize these scriptures. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. Talking about the blood of Jesus. Therefore, brothers, Hebrews 10, 19. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. Sprinkled with what? Sprinkled with what? Having our hearts sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. To cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Whenever the devil tries to bring up your past, what do you call on? You call on the blood of Jesus and say, Jesus, your blood, let it cover my heart and cleanse me of a guilty conscience. Call on the blood of Jesus. Quote the scripture, call on the blood. There is power in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus erases the stain of sin. Just like Clorox bleach erases the stains off your whites. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Blood of Jesus is more powerful than Clorox bleach. It erases the stain of your sinful past. In 1 Corinthians 13:5, we talk about it. Love keeps no record of wrongs. And I hope you wrote those scriptures down, because the thing is this. As you meditate on these scriptures and speak them to yourself, guess what? You will start to forgive yourself. Hey, there is therefore no condemnation, Satan. I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. I call on the blood of Jesus to cover my heart and erase a guilty conscience. Quoting the Word of God over your life. And as you speak these words, the Word of God over your life, you'll start forgiving yourself. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The words you speak to yourself influence the way you what? The words you speak to yourself influence the way you think, right? And the way you think about yourself influences the way you act toward yourself. So if you start influencing your mind with the Word of God, and conditioning your mind with God's Word and speaking the Scripture into your life, it starts influencing the way you think. These words will influence your thoughts, and your thoughts will start to influence and determine the way you act toward yourself. And the way you act toward yourself will start to be that you start forgiving yourself. Does that make sense? That's right. That's the way you begin to forgive yourself. And just one final scripture here, Philippians 3, verse 13. And this is what Paul the Apostle writes, and it's applicable to us. And it says this: Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Forgetting the past and pushing toward the good things that God has for me. Now, if anybody had reason for regret, who was it? It was Paul the Apostle, right? Why? Because he was a murderer. He had killed so many Christians. Had he lived in the past, he never would have planted the churches that he planted. He never would have gone ahead with the plan and the calling of God in his life. But he forgot the past. He forgave himself of the past. And he did great things for God. And guys, you can do the same. I can do the same. We've got to forget our past. We've got to forgive ourselves so that we can go to the bigger things, to the palace of blessings that God has for us. He wants to take you from rags to his rich blessings. You agree with that tonight? But you've got to speak these words, the Word of God, the Scripture, over your minds. Let it influence the way you think. And then the way you think will be the way you act. And the way you act should be forgiving yourself. You know what? Another thing too is this, is begin to occupy. You know, if you have too much idle time in your hands, too much empty time in your hands, you start thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about. Maybe the past. Maybe the sins you've committed. But start occupying your minds. Start occupying your actions with productive activity. Reaching out beyond yourself. Amen? And you've got to see yourself as God sees you. And guys, the thing is this. Think about it. If you begin to love yourself, if you begin to forgive yourself, then you can step out beyond yourself and love others. But if you don't think well about yourself, if you don't like yourself, if you can't forgive yourself, how could you step out beyond yourself to love somebody else? You've got nothing to give. It's only when you begin loving and forgiving yourself that you can step out to the bigger things God has for you. That you can step out and minister and serve someone who is less fortunate than yourself. You agree with that tonight? I'm here to tell you guys that God loves you so very much. You are worth more than all the gold, the silver, and the diamonds in this world to God. Begin seeing yourself that way. Begin quoting the Scripture, meditating on the Scripture, having the Scripture influence your mind, calling on the blood of Jesus. And let me tell you something. Your past will, you will start forgiving yourself, and you will start forgetting your past. Influencing yourself with the Word of God. One final story here tonight. Talking about the love of God. This is what it says. The scars of life. One final story. Some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, a little boy decided to go for a swim in the old swimming hole behind his house. In a hurry to dive into the cool water, he ran out to the back door, leaving behind shoes, socks, and shirt as he went. He flew into the water, not realizing that as he swam toward the middle of the lake, an alligator was swimming toward the shore. His father, working in the yard, saw the two as they got closer and closer together. In utter fear, he ran toward the water, yelling to his son as loudly as he could. Hearing his voice, the little boy became alarmed and made a U-turn to swim to his father. It was too late. Just as he reached his father, the alligator reached him. From the dock, the father grabbed his little boy by the arms just as the alligator snatched his legs. That began an incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator was much stronger than the father, but the father was much too passionate to let go. A farmer happened to drive by, heard his screams, raced from his truck, took aim, and shot the alligator. Remarkably, after weeks and weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived. His legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attack of the animal. And on his arms were deep scratches where his father's fingernails dug into his flesh in his effort to hang on to the son he loved. The newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked if he would show him his scars. The boy lifted his pant legs, and then with obvious pride, he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. I have great scars on my arms too. I have them because my dad wouldn't let go." You and I can identify with that little boy. We have scars too. Not from an alligator, but the scars of a painful past. Some of those scars are unsightly and have caused us deep regrets. But some wounds, my friend, are because God has refused to let you go. In the midst of your struggle, He's been there holding on to you. The scripture teaches that God loves you. You are a child of God. He wants to protect you and provide for you in every way. But sometimes we foolishly wade into dangerous situations, not knowing what lies ahead. The swimming hole of life is filled with danger. And we forget that the enemy is waiting to attack. That's when the tug of war begins. And if you have the scars of His love on your arms, be very, very grateful. He did not and will not ever let you go. Pass that on to those that you love. God loves you guys so very much. He loves you. And you must love yourself. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself, as you forgive yourself. And it's only when you begin to forgive yourself, when you begin to love yourself, when you begin to see yourself the way God sees you as valuable, that you can begin to love others, growing in the love of God. He loves you so very much.